guys. Nancy Pelosi, where was she this week? Went to the Vatican. They all do. Every one of them. Even Donald Trump does it. They all do it. Why? Because that's the big secret that no one wants to talk about, is that that is the seat right there in Rome. That's where the power rests. Why did communism fall? Because the Pope John Paul and Ronald Reagan worked together to bring down communism. And a lot of these prophets, these prophecy teachers, don't want to talk about this stuff because they're afraid that Roman Catholics won't watch the program anymore. That's exactly true. You know, Jack Van Impe admitted that, by the way, right before he died. He confessed and asked for forgiveness, basically, for not telling the truth, because he didn't want to offend his Roman Catholic viewers. Listen, I don't want to offend anybody, but whether you're a Roman Catholic or a Baptist or a heathen, you should want to know the truth. And the truth is right there. Just read it. And so you can trace the blood of those in heaven, the apostles and prophets, whether you're talking about the ones Jezebel had killed. Are you talking about the ones killed under Babylon, or those killed under the persecutions of other empires, Assyria and all that? They all tie into the spirit of Babylon. Started under Nimrod and came through and through literal Babylon, the Chaldeans. And when Babylon fell, and it went, I believe, through... remained in the Persian and Medo-Persian, all that. But then that fell, it went to Pergamos. In our study of the Church of Pergamos, we talk about that. You go look it up right now. Where is the seat of Satan? And you'll find that until the Caesars, the seat of Satan was known to be in Pergamos. Why? Because that Babylonian priesthood went from Nimrod into Babylon, and when Babylon was overthrown, it went to Pergamos. And the priesthood stayed there until Caesar basically became a convert to those magical arts, and he took on the title. What's the title?
Pontifex Maximus.
Pontifex Maximus. That started under Nimrod, through Babylon, to Pergamos, under the Caesars, and from Constantine to the popes. And the final pope will be the head of this thing that we just read about. So that's why it says, how for your miseries that shall come upon you. What miseries? We just read about them. I mean, they'll each have individual miseries come on them. They end up in hell, like I believe David Rockefeller, who just died recently. I believe he split hell wide open. There's no evidence he ever got saved. But the rich on earth, those elites, eventually, they're going to be howling and wailing at the destruction of Babylon. So we go back to our reading there. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten, back in James 5. And it lists some of the same read in Revelation 18. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh, as it were, fire. So, how many of you watch TV and you see what Bill Gates and George Soros and these guys are doing, and it just makes you angry? Well, go to James 5 and Revelation 18 and meditate. Because this little short little time where they're getting by with this stuff ain't nothing compared to the eternal damnation they face. You almost pity them. Their riches are worse than dirt in the eyes of God. And by the way, in heaven, their riches of gold will be pavement. I love it. First time one of my teachers pointed this out to me, I just loved it, when he said he brought two big chunks of pavement in from the driveway, like ours out here, falling apart. And he brought two big chunks of pavement. And he's like, I'm rich! I'm rich. And he just put on a big show. We're like, what is he talking about? You know, and he was acting so happy, and his wife came in, and she's like, "What, honey? What's going on? We're rich. We're rich." And we're like, "Has he lost his mind?" And then he stopped and said, "That's what it'd be like in heaven if you walk in with bricks of gold. In heaven, it's just pavement." I should have brought in a couple of chunks and put that show on for you. That would have been funny. But the Bible indicates very little hope for most of the elites. If you have a chance to give Bill Gates' gospel tract and witness to him, do it.
Amen.
Just wouldn't expect much.
Jesus there in what you went over, Revelation 4:18.
Three.
He counseled. He gave them the right.
Yeah.
Told them.
Yeah. God knows men, and the rich can be the worst. Jesus says so. Let's look at it. Matthew 19. Jesus says something about the rich that he doesn't say about anybody else. In Matthew 19, verses 23 through 26. Matthew 19:23 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples," well, I want you to read that with me, so I'll give you a second to get there. Revelation 19:23. I'll give you, don't panic. Okay. I'll give you a second to get there. I'm paid by the hour, folks. We could do this all night. Matthew 19:23, you there? Read that with me. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God." Heaven. And wait a minute, before you read on. Is there anything off the top of my head? I just can't think of Jesus saying that about anybody else. Go ahead and read verse 24. "And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now stop there. It is not a cave in Jerusalem where camels get on their knees and crawl.
Amen.
It's literally going through the eye of a needle.
Right.
And try to put a camel through one of those. So it's hyperbole, but Jesus is painting a picture. It's very difficult. Very, very, very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 25, he says, "When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved?" Now, if you're a Buckeye, you'll understand this is where we get our state motto, which is totally out of context. But let's read verse 26 together. "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So, it's possible. It's not impossible. But not likely that a rich man will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, 1 Timothy 6:9, Paul said this, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." There's all kinds of really good guys I like that I've read their history about. And it's not like they just fell maybe once or twice, and you know, because men are men. We're talking, I was telling Jenny about Bob Hope, and you know, they said he had innumerable, constant adulterous affairs throughout his life. And no evidence the man ever got saved. Now, how many, if you don't like Bob Hope tonight, leave. Everybody loves Bob Hope. Oh, Kim, I was kidding. But seriously, I mean, Bob Hope, and you're like, oh, that's so, such a shame. How many of you know people that, you know, Elvis? I mean, if you don't like Elvis, there's something wrong. And I'm just kidding. There's some people that don't like Elvis. But, you know, I don't care whether you like him or not. I really do think you have a bad judge of talent if you don't think the man had incredible talent and sold more records than anybody up to his time and 20 years later, 10, 15 years later, before I think Michael Jackson finally broke his record, which tells you we're in the end times. But anyway, sure. Yeah, Johnny?
Was it Don Knotts another one?
Well, Don Knotts didn't have the track record Bob did with the women. He was. There were some people talk about him smoking pot, but in his defense, he had a stomach ailment, and people who knew him said he never got high. He just took it medicinally before it was medicinally legal. So, but a great guy who never got saved, as far as we know. Yeah. But I had to throw that in there because don't be picking on Barney. Yeah. Mark.
Yeah, we had Johnny Cash and Bob Hope or something like that. And the other side of the joke is now that we've got Obama fight, we got no cash and no.
Yeah. Now Johnny Cash, I believe, is in heaven.
Yeah.
George Jones, who lived a bad life and had a lot of sin in his life, but the last 10 years of his life, he got saved. And so that's the thing of these rich people, these elites, God will save them. It's not that he won't, but the rich fall into temptation and a snare. I mean, it's just that's why I say all the time, I believe I would do a lot of good with a few million dollars if the Lord would give it to me, but evidently he knows better. So there have been wealthy Christians. But even they have to fight against pride and arrogance. A lot of these wealthy Christians are, I believe, saved, and they've done a lot of good, but they also, you find out, they very control freaks or just kind of get, it goes to their head a little bit, and they want to be treated like royalty in the church and that sort of thing. So even then, again in 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world. See, Paul's saying there are Christians who are rich. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. He doesn't say, give it all away. You can't be rich as a Christian. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. A rich Christian should be using that money as best he can to help a lot of people, but the wealth that a person has gives them the ability to get credit and to continue in business. So you have to have some wealth put back or you can't do business. There's the question. So why do so few elite turn to Jesus Christ? Here's my answer. I believe most of them are reprobate. I'm not going to sit here and say I know for a fact who is or whatever. I'm not saying Bill Gates. Bob's his poor brother. I think he's never made money. But Bill Gates or George Soros or I don't know for sure any of them are, but I suspect they are, most of them. Well, you can't, but that's different from reprobation. I mean, reprobation is, I don't care which one of those guys, if I ever got in their presence, I would try. I would try to preach the gospel, give them a gospel tract. Mary?
Can you define that?
Well, reprobate is described in Romans chapter 1, and it's God handing a person over to what they call a reprobate mind, what is called a reprobate mind. And reprobate means that you're basically given over and beyond the pale. I think I got that in one of our texts. We'll actually look at one of the texts in just a second. But God calls. The elite ignore him. That's the bottom line. God calls, but the elite ignore him. Let's look in answer to Mary's question there. Proverbs chapter 1, we've read on a couple of occasions before. And if you read through the Proverbs, you've seen this. But Proverbs chapter 1, beginning verse 22, it says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Here's where God calls. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. But then, as I said, the elite ignore him. Verse 24, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set it not on my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Now look at God's response beginning verse 26. Read that with me. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof, and so forth. That's going to be in this life. They're not dead yet, and God won't hear them. Now, again, you and I don't know who those people are, so we just treat them the same. But God says that there are some people who have gone so far, they're reprobate, and he won't hear them even when they do call on him. And, of course, that's everybody in hell. There's just something about sinful man when he becomes rich. Arrogance, pride. They just think they're too... I'd been selectively listening to some things. You know, Norm MacDonald, the comedian, died, and he did talk about God and things, and I never heard him really give a profession of faith in the gospel, so I don't hold out a lot of hope. But I listened to a couple conversations he had, and you got to be very careful. Some of his stuff gets real, you know, and I just turn it off when it gets real bad. But one of the things I listened to was Dennis Miller, the comedian, and unbeliever, and he can be really bad to listen to too. But he was on one of these podcasts. He calls up Norm MacDonald. He says, "Hey, Norm, wanted to talk to you. We wanted to have you." It was Dennis Miller's show. And he said, "I want to talk to you because somebody said you've been born again. Is that true? You've been born again?" And Norm MacDonald's like, "Oh, no, man, oh, no." He didn't want to talk about it. Why? Because, man, that's a death certificate if you're an entertainer. And you claim to be born again, you will then become the butt of all the jokes for the next who knows how long. And it's just a shame. Yeah. Think about Luke 16 and the rich man's family. We don't have time to read through all that, but it's in Luke 16, 19 to 31. I'm just going to look at one particular couple of verses there. We'll come into this in a few weeks on our Sunday studies in Luke. But in Luke 16, if you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man lift up his eyes in torment, and he's in hell. And it's not a pleasant story, but it's a true story. It's not a parable. Verse 19 begins by saying, "There was a certain rich man," and it talks about how he lived in his wealth, and then Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores, verse 20. And then the rich man, the beggar dies in verse 22, and the angels carry Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. And it says the rich man also died and was buried in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And as the story goes on, we come down to verse 27. The rich man says, "I pray therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him," the beggar, "to my father's house." Verse 28, "For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Now here's what it looks like to be reprobate. Abraham saith in him, verse 29, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him." And the rich man said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." In verse 31, "And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Think about being so far gone. You won't hear Moses and the prophets, and even if someone rose from the dead. So that's kind of a picture of reprobation. God called, they would not answer. That's going to be on the great white throne. Every one of these elites are going to stand before Jesus Christ, and it'll be revealed. God called, and they would not answer. I don't know about you, but I would not trade Jesus for all the wealth in this world. I'd rather be poor. So let's close by looking at Jeremiah 9 real quick. In Jeremiah 9, it's where our reading picks up tomorrow in our calendar. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. And this is just a nice way to end this study. If you can, I'm going to have you stand and we'll read this together. If you can. Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. Give everybody a second to get there. All right. If you're there, read it with me. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Can you all say amen to that?
Amen.
All right, so let's sing a closing song. Words are on the screen. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. All right, get your...
Let's be.